In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Luke chapter 2, Jesus, the child, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And when the child, the 12-year-old child, Jesus, stays behind in the temple, and is teaching and being listened to and listening to the teachers of the law in the temple, and after looking for him for 3 days, his mother says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." He said to them, Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During these 12 days of Christmas, Christmas Eve is a celebration for the Jews of the Messiah who was born in Bethlehem in Israel, as the angels announced to the Jewish shepherds. And then the 12th day of Christmas, this Wednesday, we rejoice as Gentile nations, the Magi, come to the light, bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. During the 12 days of Christmas, we rejoice in the words written in Luke chapter 2, stories we only know about from Luke. Luke, under inspiration of the Holy Scripture, would have interviewed Mary herself, personally talked to the people who experienced these events. These unique accounts recorded in Luke chapter 2 include the Nativity, the Christmas Eve account, his presentation in the temple, Simeon and Anna. And this story, which is the only story we know of Jesus' childhood. And what a great story is before us today. I love this account. "For Jesus grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the fear of the Lord was upon him. He was of the royal line of David and Solomon, as Solomon had asked for understanding, might and of mind and wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greater than Solomon, of the line of David and Solomon. Jesus is given true wisdom to discern good and evil, to govern God's great people. And Jesus, as a 12-year-old child, is going to teach us today who he really is." I think this is the point of this gospel lesson. Because we are all in the body of Christ, the church, in holy baptism, we are also in the house of the Father, the church, gathering around word and sacrament. Each week, each Sunday, each Lord's Day, each divine service, we can say with Jesus today, "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" Now I say for 2010, this is a New Year's godly resolution. Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? We're going to look at this text today, as Jesus brings us into the Father's house and shows us that he is both God and man, that he is the temple of God's presence. I would like to look at this text three different angles this morning. Let's first of all look at Jesus and his family and this whole caravan that goes up to the feast in Jerusalem. Then let's look briefly at Jesus sitting there with the teachers in the temple courts. And I love this picture in the front of the bulletin of Jesus sitting there in the temple courts. This is a very accurate picture. Teaching in the temple as a 12-year-old boy. And then, let us look briefly at how Jesus was making the point with his own parents. "God is my father. Mary is my mother. But God is my true father." So let's first look at Jesus and his family at this feast in Jerusalem. It's the feast of the Passover. His parents and relatives and acquaintances travel from Nazareth way up in Galilee for about a 3-day journey to come down to Jerusalem every year as was customary. You know what the Passover is. The Jews celebrated once a year when they put the blood of the door over the doorposts of their house in Egypt, and the angel of death passed over their homes because of the blood of the Lamb. Every year the Jews celebrated the Passover in Jerusalem with the unleavened bread and the wine and the lamb and the food and the feast. And this feast finds Jesus and his whole family as was customary. Jesus' family was like one of these families that's in church every Sunday and the kids are in Sunday school. He was there every Saturday Sabbath to hear the word of God. The whole family would go up to Jerusalem for the feast as was customary. What a great habit to be at church every week, as was the habit of his family. But he is only 12 years old. He's not even a teenager yet. But what a beautiful picture here that when the feast has ended, this large group of people, this godly family, now returns to Nazareth, but Jesus stays behind. Now I want you to picture this. This is a large caravan of people, maybe of 200 people. Remember that Mary and Joseph had additional children after Jesus was born. He was their firstborn son. You've got Jesus, his brothers, possibly his sisters, his uncles, his aunts, his cousins, other acquaintances from Nazareth. And they have this large caravan, and they're going back to Nazareth. Now, Mary and Joseph assume Jesus is in the midst of all these people. But they travel an entire year, and they're looking for him, and they can't find him. And a day out, the rest of the group continues to Nazareth, and Mary and Joseph turn around and head back to Jerusalem. Any parent who's lost their child in a shopping mall and can't find your child knows the panic of Mary. Where is Jesus? Nobody knows where he is. They don't realize Jesus stayed back in Jerusalem. They can't find him. And so they return to Jerusalem looking for him. Now, I love this story. This shows you Jesus had a completely normal childhood as a carpenter's son. He was hanging around with his family. They didn't even worry about it. They know they think he's in the caravan somewhere, but he wasn't. Jesus lived a completely normal family life and childhood like you and I have. And I find that tremendously comforting, a cause of joy to know that he had an ordinary life like you and me. He, of course, was not an ordinary child. As St. Paul said today about the blessings that God the Father has poured upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ so that we are holy and blameless in him and heaven and earth has met in the person of Christ. But the living out of his life as an ordinary 12-year-old boy shows him at this feast with this godly family in Jerusalem. Now that's the first angle that Luke gives us on this text. But now comes the second view of what happened. Now we meet Jesus and the teachers in the temple courts. An amazing thing happens to Mary and Joseph. When they go into Jerusalem, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers. Jesus was listening to the teachers, and Jesus is asking them questions. But they look for him for 3 days. Isn't that amazing? Moms and dads, just think that you cannot find your child for 3 days. Mary and Joseph went up and down all the streets in Jerusalem. They looked down every alley, every store, every shop. Has anybody seen Jesus? No one has seen Jesus. At the end, they finally go to the right place. They figure, let's go up to the temple. And to their astonishment, Jesus is sitting there teaching, listening, and asking questions to the teachers of the law. The temple courts had many porches where Jesus could have slept. Somebody certainly would have fed this young, brilliant boy. And we know in retrospect what was really going on. Jesus' body is the true temple of God's presence. So of course he would be in the temple. Jesus' body is the Passover lamb. So of course he would be there for the Passover. Jesus is the Word of God in human flesh. So of course he would be where the Word of God is being proclaimed, because he is the Word of God. Jesus had studied the Scriptures all of his life, and all who heard it were amazed, because he had a voracious knowledge and desire to know theology and the Scriptures. And at his understanding and his answers, the teachers were astonished. His parents see him and they are astonished. They can't believe this. But Jesus, in his complete humility, is sitting there wisely discussing with these teachers of the law. Jesus hid his deity, his being God, in his humanity. He didn't blurt out to these teachers, "Oh, by the way, I'm the Messiah." No. Jesus simply showed that he was the Messiah as a 12-year-old boy, answering the questions of these teachers to their absolute astonishment. We know why this could happen. In Christ, we have been adopted into God's family by the glorious grace of the Beloved One, which is Jesus. The reason we have redemption is through his blood. The reason we have forgiveness is because the riches of God's grace lavished on us. And the reason that we have truth is because all wisdom and insight and the mystery of God is revealed in this child and this young man, Jesus. And in Jesus, heaven and earth unite. So we've seen the angle of Jesus and his family and Mary and Joseph. We've also seen the angle of the teachers of the law in the temple. But now, let's look at another angle, the conversation that then happens between his parents and Jesus. This God-man hears his mother say to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Now, this is the great irony in this text. It wasn't Jesus that was lost. It was them. It's like this today. People are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. It's people that are lost. It's we who are lost, not Jesus. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Jesus was exactly where he was supposed to be. It was Mary and Joseph that were lost. It's you and I that are lost. This, of course, is the natural response of a mother looking for her firstborn son. She's obviously in distress. But Joseph and Mary had forgotten about Christmas Eve. That's what Jesus is saying to them. "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they didn't understand the saying he spoke to them. Jesus was not being a smart aleck here. He was just reminding his beloved parents, "My beloved mother and stepfather, don't you remember Christmas Eve? Joseph is not my father. God the Father is my true father. I'm in the Father's house where I should be. And Mother Mary, you are my mother." Jesus would go down back up to Nazareth, and he did submit to them as his earthly parents, for Jesus was the God-man who fulfilled the law in our place. It would be in this child that we have been predestined and received the inheritance of God. It is in this child that the truth of the gospel brings us salvation. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts with praise and joy and hope. And Jesus is reminding his parents who he truly is. Another thing that's comforting is to realize that it had been 12 years since those events had happened. And it was easy for them in the raising of a family to forget who Jesus truly was. And Jesus is reminding them, "God is my Father. I am God, but I am also man, born of my mother, Mary." During these 12 days of Christmas, this Lord Jesus enables you to have favor with God and man, because you share in the treasures of his mysteries through the incarnation of Christ and the faith he puts in your heart. just like Mary treasured all these things in your heart, I hope that you treasure these things in your heart during the 12 days of Christmas. For as the shepherds at the manger spoke the words of praise of God to Mary, and she treasured these things in her heart, now she treasures these things in her heart about the 12-year-old boy, Jesus. This Lord Jesus Christ has indeed fulfilled the commandments for us. I was so proud yesterday, if you watched the Rose Bowl parade, did any of you see the Lufenauer float? Did anybody see it? Wasn't it beautiful? It's the only religious float in the whole parade, because we've been doing it for like 80 years, and I figured, let the Lutherans do it. I'm glad. And did you see the float? It had the Ten Commandments on one end. It had three crosses in white and gold, and they had the Ark of the Covenant going through the Red Sea, and they had eight people standing up there in purple robes like priests. And amazingly, the people read the script. He said, Jesus fulfilled the law for us. And then the lady read that Christ's crucifixion is God's salvation or something like that. I couldn't believe it, that they were reading the script exactly as it should have been read. Pictured there was the Ten Commandments, which we have broken. But inside the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments. At the Ark of the Covenant is where the blood of Christ is sprinkled, if you will, because in his death on the cross, he's the Passover lamb. And when God sees the blood over the Ark of the Covenant, he forgives. And because of that, we can go through the Red Sea, if you will, into the promised land of heaven. And that was pictured in the Lufenauer float. And we should be proud of that float. And I'm sure you could find it on the internet to see how that witnessed to our world during the 12 days of Christmas, to millions of people, who Jesus Christ really is. Now, Jesus went back to Nazareth, and from age 12... for the next 18 years, he was a carpenter's son. It wasn't until age 30 that he was baptized, tempted by the devil, and would teach in the synagogue. For the next 18 years, he was obedient to father and mother. He fulfilled all righteousness for us. But when he was 33 would be when he would be cut off from his earthly mother and from his heavenly father on Calvary's cross, and there bear the punishment in our place. And in the resurrection tomb would come forth glorious for our salvation. This is where we are accounted righteous, through the blood of Christ. Jesus, even at 12 years old, knew there would come another time when he came to Jerusalem, and he'd be nailed to a cross outside that temple, but would be raised gloriously for our salvation. So, as I began, so I close. Because we are in the body of Christ, the church, through holy baptism, we are also in the house of the Father in the church around word and sacrament. Each week, each Sunday, each Lord's Day, each divine service, we can say with Jesus, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? For 2010, this is our New Year's godly resolution. And so we say this together, all of us. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which transcends our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.